Thank you, everyone, for being here this afternoon. Thank you for being back if you were here this morning, and thank you for coming. If this is your first time here today, we want to welcome any visitors that we have. You are our honored guests. We are thankful that you are here, and our goal this afternoon is to look into God's Word, investigate what the Scripture has to say, and then put it to use in our lives. Our goal is to be more faithful servants of God each day that we live on this earth, and so that is our desire this afternoon. Go ahead and open up to Romans chapter 13, if you would. Romans chapter 13. We're going to start just by reading one verse out of Romans 13. And this is a verse in a context, so we'll go back and get the context in just a minute. But I want to look at verse 7, because the idea for our time this afternoon comes from verse 7. And like I said, we'll go back and see the context in just a minute. Romans chapter 13, verse 7 says, "Render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." This verse states the principle of giving to those that deserve it. Specifically, if it's taxes, give taxes, customs, give that. And then the last phrase in that verse, honor to whom honor. That is the idea for our lesson this afternoon. Who do we need to be giving honor to? Certainly as Christians, there are several relationships where we have the responsibility to give honor to the one in that position. And the Bible gives several positions that we as Christians must honor if we are serving God faithfully. So we're going to look into those this afternoon. First of all, what is the idea of honoring something? It includes the idea of showing respect, showing the respect that someone deserves, giving them the attention that they need, or treating them properly because of the position that they are in. We think about honor with the military a lot of times, I think. If someone receives some kind of honor, a medal or a position, then they have done something. They are in a position to deserve that honor. And so in a spiritual standpoint, God gives us several relationships and then tells us, honor those who are in this position. So, who is it that we need to honor? We're going to start right here in Romans chapter 13. We need to honor the government. As Christians, we are commanded to honor those that are in authority. Let's go back and let's read from Romans chapter 13 and figure out what this means in context. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers." So as Christians, we are commanded to honor and respect the government. The Scripture is very clear about that. But we might ask, why? Why are we commanded to respect the government here on earth? And the text tells us that. The first answer is, God tells us to. And really, that's the only answer we need. We honor the government because God has commanded it. But Paul, in his writing to the Romans, goes on and explains more answers to that question. Why do we need to honor the government? In verse 1, we honor the government because their authority is from God. This verse clearly teaches that all authority is from God. God is where all authority exists. And God has given authority to others. He gave authority to His Son. He gave authority to the apostles to go out and teach the word. He has placed authority in His Scripture. And here, God has given authority to the government. So we honor the government because God gave them that authority. In verse 2, we obey and submit to the government because in doing so, we avoid judgment. Verse 2 teaches us that if we resist the authority, number one, we're really resisting God. And number two, if we resist the authority, then we're bringing judgment on ourselves. Two aspects of that judgment. First of all, if we resist the government, we're probably going to be judged by the government. We have court systems in place. The government has placed these judgments there. So someone who breaks the law will be judged by the law. But even greater than that, if we go against the government and resist the government, I believe there is a judgment waiting for us from God as well. We need to honor the government. What about in verse 3? Why do we obey the government? Well, in verse 3 we realize the government really is there to support what is good. Now, I realize that there are instances where this is not true. The government does not support what is good 100% of the time. And there have been governments that certainly didn't support what is good. But as a rule, the government is there to support what is good. They're there to support good works. And they're there to be a terror to evil, verse 3 teaches us. So why do we obey and honor the government? Because the government supports what is good. If I never murder someone, I don't have to worry about being thrown in jail for murder, because the government supports good people who don't commit that crime. But if I am a murderer, then I'm going to be judged by that for the government. The government supports what is good. Also in verse 4, why do we honor the government? Because in doing so, we avoid wrath. It says the government does not bear the sword in vain. They have the ability to punish, to bear the sword, and they don't have that in vain. So in honoring the government, I avoid wrath and physical punishment. And then in verse 5, therefore you must be subject not only because of wrath, talking about that judgment, but also for conscience' sake. So in honoring the government, we also have the ability to live with a clean conscience. And that's a wonderful thing that comes from submitting to the government. Let's also look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, specifically starting in verse 13. We'll actually just read a couple of these verses here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. So when we submit to the government, like Romans chapter 13 tells us to, we submit to the government for the Lord's sake, is what 1 Peter chapter 2 would tell us. And again, that in and of itself is enough reason. We submit to the government for the Lord's sake. Now, there is one exception to this. Go over to Acts chapter 4. Romans chapter 13, 1 Peter chapter 2 make it very clear that as Christians we have a responsibility to honor the government. But also in the inspired Word of God, we have examples of one exception to this rule. And in Acts chapter 4, we run into a couple of people who are preaching God's Word. They are out there doing the will of God, and they're preaching. Peter and John are at work in God's kingdom. And as they are preaching, as they are talking about Jesus, the government throws them in jail. And then eventually the government decides to let them out, the authorities here. But as they do that, verse 18, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Do you see what the authorities are doing right here? They're telling Christians not to talk about Jesus. Now, Jesus clearly told his followers to go and talk about him, to spread the good news, to spread the gospel. And so their answer to this, verse 19, Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. These Christians, these apostles, make it very clear. God told us to talk about Him and to preach the gospel, and that's what we're going to do. So in this one exception, they go against the government. But the reason I want to look at this exception is to see how they did that. Yes, they said that they could not obey the government because the government condemned something clearly that is in God's Word. But notice how they did that. They didn't shove it in the government's face. They didn't do it blatantly or disrespectfully. They did it in a very honorable and respectful way. They explained why they had to disobey. because God had commanded them to continue to teach. So that is our responsibility. We must honor the government. And if there ever comes a time where we have to stand on God's word, we still need to do it honorably and respectfully. And this is not something political. This is not at all about politics. It doesn't matter what branch that you are with, whether you are Republican or Democrat or whatever it might be. This is about submission. This is not about politics. This is about respect and about honor and about serving God. But what else are we to show honor to? Certainly we are to honor the government. But also in Scripture, we find this principle. We are to honor parents. Go to Ephesians chapter 6 with me. Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll start there in verse 1. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth." So God gives a command here. Children, honor your parents. Honor your father and mother. And this commandment that God gives comes with a promise attached. If you honor your father and mother, then it will be well with you, and you will live long on the earth. That's a promise that God makes. But we must honor our parents. Let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and get some more details about this. Yes, we need to honor our parents. That's clear in Ephesians 6. But what does that look like? And especially as we start to get a little bit older, what does that look like? Ephesians 6 said, obey your parents. Children need to obey their parents. And certainly under your parents' house, you need to obey and be under their authority. But as you continue to get older, the honor still needs to be there. So in 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul is writing with Timothy, helping them know how to deal with issues that were coming up in the church. And as they talked about this idea of widows, Paul tells Timothy in chapter 5, verse 3, "Honor widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God." Do you see how even an older child here continues to honor their parents? If a child has a parent who has become a widow, there's still a responsibility there. There is still a honor that needs to be in place. They need to repay their parents, is what Scripture says. And I'm thankful that even in front of me this afternoon, there are so many good examples of that. So many people in the audience that continue to take care of your parents, continue to honor them and help them. And that's a tremendous thing. And that is exactly what God's will is. But what about a husband and wife relationship? Certainly we are to honor the government. Certainly we are to honor our parents. But this continues into the husband and wife relationship. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, this passage lays down responsibilities of a husband to a wife and also a wife to a husband. Verses 1 through 6 talk about a wife's responsibilities and certainly it is a picture of honor. And then in verse 7, an instruction is given directly to the husbands. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So in 1 Peter 3 and in verse 7, the husband is to honor the wife. So again, this is another relationship where God commands honor. The wife deserves to be honored, and God says the husband is to do that. And it also mentions this idea of her being a weaker vessel. And I don't believe that's talking about physically weaker. But as the wife is in a position of submission, where she submits to her husband, that's a weaker position by nature. She has to submit. But the husband is to still honor her, even in that position. Also, in Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5 is a passage that the focus is mainly on the relationship between Christ and the church. But as that relationship is explained, it fits hand in hand with the relationship between a husband and a wife. And in Ephesians chapter 5, we'll just read verse 33. This whole context is rich with honor. And you can't help but notice that as you read through those verses, but specifically verse 33. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. Again, a responsibility for the husband. Love your wife. A picture of honor. And then for the wife, let the wife see that she respects her husband. It's a relationship of mutual respect and of mutual honor. It goes both ways. The husband honoring the wife and the wife honoring the husband. And when it works that way, it's a beautiful thing. Titus chapter 2. This is such an important principle that it is to be passed down. And Titus teaches us that. Titus chapter 2, verse 3. The older women, likewise, that they may be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. This is such an important principle of loving and honoring your husband that the older women are to teach the younger women. It's to be passed down. That's how important this relationship of mutual honor is to God. So we need to make sure that we are paying attention to that. So as we think about giving honor to whom honor is due, we need to honor the government. We need to honor our parents. We need to honor our husband or wife, if that applies to you. And we also see in Scripture, we need to honor the elders. We need to honor those who are ruling, those who are over a local church. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. This church is blessed to have faithful elders who are working here, who are serving the church, who are leading by example. And that is a tremendous thing. There are so many groups, even where I preach, that don't have that blessing. We need to not take that blessing lightly. And we need to make sure that as we look into Scripture, that we are applying all the right principles. So in 1 Timothy chapter 5, we'll just read verse 17 and 18. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the Scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. The elder is worthy of honor. This passage even mentions the idea of double honor and the idea that an elder can receive wages for what he is doing. But the principle that we want to notice in this passage is we need to honor the elders. The elders are working hard. We need to give them the honor that the Scripture says to give them. Again, a couple more passages to help us know how to do this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Actually, before we go there, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. I don't think I have this on the PowerPoint, but it will be helpful for us to look at. 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders are ruling over the local church. That's the language that's used in 1 Timothy. But as they do so, they're not ruling like a king rules over his subjects, but they are ruling as servants. And 1 Peter chapter 5 teaches us this. Peter writes in verse 1 of chapter 5, the elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So we see here how elders are supposed to be working in a local church. They are shepherding the flock as servants. Not by compulsion, it says, but doing it eagerly. Not doing it because they're forced, but doing it because they want to. Not doing it for dishonest gain, not that they get anything out of it, but doing it to serve. And again, what a blessing it is when elders are doing that. So when we see elders working like they're supposed to in 1 Peter chapter 5, how do we honor them? Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll look at two verses, one in 1 Thessalonians and one in Hebrews, to help us with this idea. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 12. We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. As we see the elders working in this group, and as we see them over us in the Lord, we need to, it says in verse 13, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. When we see all that they do, the work that goes into that, we need to give them esteem, give them honor for what they're doing. And now in Hebrews chapter 13, we'll just read verse 17 in this chapter. This says, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." As the elders are working and as we strive to honor them, this verse helps us know how to do that. We need to behave in such a way, to be submissive in such a way that their work is not a grief. That their work is not a labor, but instead, it's a joy for them to get to do what they're doing. That's a picture of honor. Where the flock, all of us here, are acting in a submissive way, letting them do what they need to, listening to their decisions, being respectful of that, and acting with honor. And if we do so, then they will be able to do their work with joy and not with grief. I don't want to be the cause of any grief among the elders. And I would much rather be a cause of joy. So we need to give honor where it is due. Honor to the government, honor to our parents, honor to your spouse, honor to the elders. And now we go back to 1 Peter and realize that as Christians, we are to be giving honor to all men. 1 Peter chapter 2, we've already been in this context talking about the government. And at the end of that section, Peter takes a step back and in verse 17, he says, "Honor all people. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." We are supposed to be living in honor towards all people, towards everyone that we encounter. Everyone that lives on this earth is created in God's image. And that's a tremendous blessing. All humans are created in God's image. All humans are equal in that way. So we are to treat each other with honor, to treat all men with honor. But I'm afraid that at times we're living in a culture that doesn't live this way. We're around people that forget to honor all men. But we need to apply it to all people. We're good at honoring those that we are close to. We're good at honoring our closest friends, our family. But sometimes when it gets further out than that, we forget to honor all men. Specifically in a couple, in a couple relationships, I think this comes out. And this is just what I've seen. I'm sure that you have seen different than this. But I'm afraid sometimes on social media, we forget to apply this principle. We're supposed to honor all men, which means don't get behind a computer and gossip and spread lies and spread bad things about people. That's not honorable. And even if you're doing it through technology, you still need to honor all men. What about people working in restaurants? I know that I've at times been sitting in a restaurant and witnessed a waiter or a waitress just being treated horribly. Now, I understand sometimes they can make mistakes. A lot of times it's not their fault, though. And as fellow humans, even if it is their fault, we need to treat them with honor. Not just treat them like trash. Treat them like people, like image bearers of God that they are. Showing them honor, even when they're in that position. What about people in government agencies? I know I've been in a couple of just government agencies in different towns, and I've seen people treat those agents, those that are working, treat them pretty terribly. Again, we need to honor all people. Even if they're behind a counter, they're still an image bearer of God. Even if they're working for us at that moment, they're still a human being. We need to honor all men. We need to apply these principles equally. Really, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12 is at the heart of all of this. "Whatever you want men to do to you, do also unto them. For this is the law and the prophets." All the law and all of the prophets are summed up in that statement. We need to be applying how people treat us, how we want people to treat us, and then treating them that way. I don't know about you, but I like to be treated with honor. as a human, I like to be treated with honor. That's how I should be treating others. No matter where I encounter them at, I need to be treating them with honor. Titus chapter 3 is another passage we'll go to help us with this as we try to honor all men. Titus chapter 3 and a couple verses here help me with this idea and help me put it into practice. We'll just read we'll start in verse 1. It says, "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey and be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men." As humans, we need to be living with this principle. This is how we show honor to all men. Don't speak evil about anybody. Don't talk bad about anyone. But instead, in the end of verse 2, show humility to all men. That's how we treat others with honor. Don't treat them selfishly or evil. Treat them with humility and with respect. Why do we act this way? Well, in verse 3, "We ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." Why do we treat all men with honor? Because God has forgiven us. Because God has washed away our sins. So we need to be treating people with honor. Not speaking evil, but acting with humility. So, how are we doing in these? How are we doing in showing honor to the government, to our parents, to the husband or wife, to the elders over a local group? And how are we doing in showing honor to all men? To help us put these into practice, I want to look at a verse in 1 Timothy. To help put all of these into practice, I believe this verse will help us a lot. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Paul again, writing to Timothy, says, "Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." As we try to live with honor in all of our relationships, we will be much helped if we put this into practice. That we offer up supplications, prayers, intercessions, and just thankfulness for all of these people, for all of these roles that we get to be in. Offer up prayers. Offer up thanks to God. And it even specifically applies it to government in verse 2. We will be well served if we put this into practice. I know this would help me a lot if I did it more. To pray for those that we are in this position with. But first and foremost, as we think about how we are doing and showing honor, most importantly, we need to be showing honor to God and to Jesus. Our responsibility as Christians is to honor all men, but it all starts with this foundation. We need to be honoring God. Think about all of the scenes of honor in Scripture. We could spend a lot of time thinking about all of the positions of honor that God has been in. On Mount Sinai, when God came down to give the law, He's up on the mountain communicating with Moses, and the mountain is covered with thunderings and with a cloud and is shaking. And it's just an amazing picture of God being honored by His creation. Think about as Jesus comes into Jerusalem, as He lived on this earth. He was riding on a donkey, but do you know what people did? Laying down their coats, laying down leaves in front of Him, showing honor to Jesus. And even in Revelation, as that book begins, we see this scene of God being worshipped. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Here is a picture of men worshiping God. The 24 elders are bowing down before God and saying in verse 11, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. This needs to be our attitude. God is worthy to receive glory and honor and power. We need to be giving honor to God. We need to be glorifying Him. And the last verse that we'll look at is in John chapter 5. It says, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. But he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." We need to be honoring God, and we need to be honoring Jesus. And how do we do that? The next verse, verse 24. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life." So how do we show that we are honoring God? How do we show that we are honoring Jesus? It's by hearing his word and believing in him. Now, the belief that's talked about here isn't just someone saying, "Okay, I believe," and that's it. The belief in the Gospels is a belief that goes and acts. A belief that says, "Yes, I believe that's true. Now I'm going to live in belief." So if you are not showing honor in your life, if you're not honoring your husband or wife, if you're not honoring the government, if you're not honoring your parents or the elders, or if you're not even showing honor to everyone that you encounter, maybe first and foremost, we need to go back and fix this relationship and begin by showing honor to God, the foundation for all of these to grow off of. And again, how do we do that? We have to hear God's word and we have to believe in it. We have to make this a top priority, paying attention and living with an active belief. So if you realize this afternoon that you've been distracted in your life, you've stopped showing honor in any of these relationships that we've looked at, then make correction in those. If you need to go and apologize to your parents or to your spouse or to the elders, do that. There's no shame in admitting a mistake and then moving forward. That's what we're supposed to do. So if you realize you haven't been showing honor in one of those relationships, go and fix it. But if you realize that you're not living with honor because you don't honor God, then that's the relationship that needs to be fixed first and foremost. If you haven't been baptized, give your life over to God. Submit to Him. Obey the gospel. Be baptized in water and your sins be washed away so that you can have the forgiveness of your sins. Or if you realize that you started following God but wandered away, then again, don't put off making correction. Make your way up to the front while we stand and sing.